Yes, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today. What a blessing it has been. The thing that solidifies the teachings of Christ above everything else, whatever other religion, whatever kind of philosophy that you might think of, was the fact of His resurrection. Amen. Proof positive that Jesus Christ was God. Proof positive that that which He has established concerning His Word and His church is truth. And what a blessing that is. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Mark in chapter 7, Mark chapter 7, we're going to be reading here verse 31 down to verse 37. This is the healing of the deaf and the dumb man. The healing of the deaf and dumb man. Mark chapter 7, if you'll stand with me, we'll read verse 31 down to verse 37. The Bible says, "And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed, and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you today, again, Lord, thank you for what we've already experienced in being in church. If we left right now, we could rejoice and say how good it's been to be in the house of the Lord. But God, we're thankful that there's more. That which you have preserved for us concerning your holy word, we have opportunity to hear it preached. And I just pray, God, that you would empower that. I ask, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. What a great passage of scripture, the healing of the deaf and the dumb man and all that's connected to that. But the message that stands out, the one that I'm going to be preaching this morning concerning this miracle of healing, is in verse 36. And the Bible says, "And he charged them," that was those that brought the deaf and dumb man to Christ, "and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it." They published it. Now, as I look here, the first thing that comes to mind as we study this is, why did Jesus tell them, tell no man? Well, as we study the scriptures, the most obvious, if you look back one chapter, Mark in chapter 6, verse 30 down to verse 33, the most obvious reason, and most would hold to this reason, is why he told them at that time not to tell anybody about this miracle. In Mark chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 30, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught." They were going about, Jesus sent his disciples out, they're going out and taking the gospel and seeing a lot of things taking place. God empowered them. And he said unto them, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. They get into a ship and try to get away from the crowds, and they're going to find some leisure time, if you will. And look at verse 33, and the Bible says, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all cities and outwent them and came together unto them. So before they could get to the other side, the people already took off and they were coming from all around to be able to be with Christ and his disciples. If you look on down to verse 56, the Bible says in chapter 6 and verse 56, and whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets. Now think about this. I mean, the people were multitudes coming from all around when they heard about this healer. They heard about this man that could just even touch, or somebody could just touch the hem of his garments and be healed of all manner of diseases. This is somebody that had been known for not only healing diseases, but giving sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. He was one that even had been known to have raised the dead back to life. And so the people were coming whenever they would hear of his presence. And whithersoever he entered into the village or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garments, and as many as touched him were made whole. Now think about that even today. If there was somebody walking around that, if no matter what kind of physical disease that you had, no matter what your need was, if you could just get to this individual and just put your hand upon his garment, you could be healed. It would not have only been in this Bible times, but today, if that was taking place today, can you imagine the multitudes of people that would have thronged him? I mean, you hear of going in on Black Friday, getting a $10 savings, and they run over people to get a $10 coupon. I'm telling my wife, stay home, I'll give you $10. But she always says, it's not that, it's the hunt. Yeah. Can you imagine how much the more be healed of cancer, be healed of whatever disease known to mankind? So many look at that and they say, well, that's why the most obvious reason that he would have told them, tell no man. But I believe there's more to it than that. Jesus never rebuked anyone who did. He would mention this a couple different times in the scriptures, if you would study the law, but he would never rebuke anyone. And can I tell you that they all did? And early on, I always wondered, why then would he tell them not to? Can I tell you, I believe it's a powerful example of not being able to not tell. When something impacts your life like Christ can impact a person's life, if it truly has impacted your life like he did in the Bible days, when the people would be healed and they could tell that they're a different person, there was something that took place in my life that changed my life. Even though they were told not to tell, they couldn't do it. Those that saw Jesus perform the things that only the Messiah could do. Because the more he did that, the more they understood this is exactly what was prophesied. This is what the Old Testament prophets, this is what the Old Testament scriptures revealed to us that would take place when the Messiah would come. And the more they heard about that, the more they would realize, this is he. This is the one we've been looking forward to. This is the Christ, the Savior of the world. And the more that they saw what he was able to do, even though they were told, tell no man, could not. Now, let's fast forward that to 2016. Fast forward that to this 21st century. Before Jesus would ascend, after his resurrection, he would tell his church and all that knew him to be the Messiah to go and tell the world. Amen. Look over with me, Luke in chapter 24. Luke in chapter 24, you'll find this same thing throughout the Gospels, the Great Commission, if you will. But I love how it's presented to us in the book of Luke in chapter 24. Luke in chapter 24 and verse 45. Before Jesus would ascend into heaven, he met the resurrected Savior, met with them, and he would instruct them on what the church was to do throughout this church age. And whatever born-again believer that knew him to be the Messiah, knew him to be their Savior, should do. The Bible says in Luke in chapter 24 and verse 45, the Bible says, then opened he their understanding. Jesus opened up their understanding to know exactly what he was going to instruct them to do, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins, look right here, should be preached in his name among all nations. He said, this is my plan for this New Testament church age. And never lose sight of this. The most important thing that the church can do, and the most important thing that somebody who knows him to be the Messiah, the most important thing that you can do is to tell somebody. And we need to tell people around the world, because it was for the whole world that Jesus suffered and bled and died. Jesus is not only the Savior of the Jews. He is not only the Savior of Christian Americans. He is a Savior of the world. He says, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. You know it to be true. You're witnesses. You know it to be true. In the book of Acts in chapter 4, I love what the Bible gives us here, this first century church and the first century believers. In Acts in chapter 4 and verse 17, because the religious rulers, not necessarily the Roman government, the religious rulers wanted to stop Christians from telling people about Jesus. It's nothing new. This is right after his resurrection, after his ascension, and the New Testament church was established. The religious rulers were the ones that wanted to persecute the disciples of Christ. And the Bible says in verse 17, Acts chapter 4, verse 17, but that it spread no farther among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I don't care who it is that tells me not to. I don't care if it's a government. I don't care if it's religious leaders. I don't care whoever it is. Once you understand what Jesus has done for you, you just can't help yourself. No matter what kind of laws are being passed, no matter what anyone says, if you truly know Jesus to be the Messiah, if you truly know that Jesus has changed your life, how can you not tell? What an example of that in our text that we read in Mark in chapter 7. Let me ask you a question here, just to bring it down to reality here. If you and your family were dying, somehow you went someplace, you developed some kind of disease because of where you were at, what happened, and now it's you and your whole family, and it's an incurable disease. And somebody comes to you, and they said, here is the cure. You can have it, but you can't tell anyone else. Let me ask you, Dad. If they come to you and said, you're the father, you can have it and you can be cured, but you can't tell your wife. Could you not tell? Could you accept this cure for this incurable disease, knowing that now I have been cured, but I can't tell my wife. I can't tell my children. I'm going to live, but they're going to die. Could you not tell? Let me ask your wife, put yourself there. If they came to you and said, here it is, you can be cured. Here is the cure, but you can't tell anyone else. Could you not tell your husband? Could you not tell your children? Maybe children, maybe teenagers here today. Maybe you're part of your family and you're all going to die. But somebody brings you a cure and says, here's a cure for you. But you can't tell your parents. And you can't tell your other brothers and sisters. And you can't tell your friends and neighbors. And you can have the cure, but you cannot tell. Could you? Even if the Messiah said, go tell nobody. An example, even though the Messiah told them, even so much the more they published it. They published it. This is a tremendous example of soul winning. Look back there with me, Mark chapter 7. Because he talks about they. And they bring him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. Soul winners. They bring him one that was in need. They brought him one that no physician could cure. They brought him one that no doubt was born this way. There was no drugs that could help him. There was no miracle cure. There was nothing anyone could do. But they believed that Jesus could help. The number one thing that if you're ever going to be used as God would have to use you as a believer, as a Christian, to be able to do what he has commissioned, not only the church, the true church, but that he has commissioned everyone who knows him to be the Savior, that has received that gift of everlasting life. The first thing that you need to look to be able to be the soul winner or that witness that God wants you to be is that you believe that he can help. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way for someone to be saved, from something worse than a disease, something worse than a blindness, something worse than being deaf, something worse than whatever this physical life could put upon them, if you believe that it's only through Jesus Christ that somebody who is dead and on their way to a devil's hell can be saved, listen to me, if you believe that, how can you not tell somebody? How could you not, if you got saved, husband, how could you not share that with your wife? If you got saved, wife, how could you not share that with your husband? If you got saved and you knew that parent, how could you not share that with your children? Teenager, if you got saved and you knew that it was only through Jesus Christ, how could you not want to tell some other teenager? If you believe him to be the help of the world, how could you not tell? As a pastor, not only do I believe it's the only plan of salvation because that's what the Bible teaches, but I believe that he offers help to anyone and everyone in need. Just yesterday, I went to one of our church members' house, Tracy Fox. Just a month ago, she started feeling bad. She's in the medical field. Didn't even realize it. She got checked out, and her body is filled with cancer. She's already can't hardly get up out of her chair. She's got sores in her mouth because of all the radiation and all the things that are taking place. It's only just been just a couple months that she realized. She was thought she was healthy before then. And I went to her. And I said, I wish I could do more. But what I have to give you, I know can help you to get through this. Let me help you by giving you what God promises us. Let me help you by sharing with you. I don't know if God's going to heal you or not. I know that he is the master healer, and he can do something that drugs cannot do. He can do something that the radiation cannot do. He can do something that whatever the doctors might want to offer cannot do. But he can do something that man cannot do. He can, if he chooses to, he can put his hand upon you, and he can bring instant healing into your body. But if not, Tracy, I am confident that I can give you help by helping you to understand his promises. And for some time, I just sit there and just shared with her the very words of a creator God and the promises that he gives to those who'll receive him as their Savior. The most frustrating thing, I believe, could see somebody in need and not be able to offer them any help at all. And if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can offer the help that God has facing any situation. How can we not tell? God has given to us a privilege to know him to be the Messiah, to know him to be the Savior. God has given us the privilege to know that the Bible is true. And if you believe that, how can you not tell somebody? How can you not want to get into their lives and be able to get through the doors of their house no matter what their need? Maybe they're dealing with divorce. Maybe they're dealing with a prodigal teenager. Maybe they're dealing with this or that or whatever. Listen to me. If you know God's word, you can give them the help that God offers. But you got to be willing to tell. They seen this blind and deaf man. And the Bible says they believe that Jesus could help him. And they go to him and they take him to Jesus. And the Bible says on, after they took him to Jesus, look what they did. The Bible says, and they beseeched him, Jesus, to put his hand upon them. And I tell you, we must have compassion for those in need. Once you know that Jesus is the answer, is the reason you're not telling is because you don't have compassion? You don't want people to find the help that they need? Why else would we not be willing and wanting to tell somebody? Why is it that we would not want to share it with our husbands or our wives or our children or our brothers and our sisters or our co-workers or our neighbors or who? If you know that you have the truth and you know you have help for whatever they're facing, why would we not want to tell them? Is it a lack of belief or is it a lack of compassion? They beseeched him. That word beseech means they begged. When's the last time you fell on your face before God and begged God to help somebody? Begged God, prayed to God, and God help them with this cancer. Begged God, prayed, God help them with this problem they're dealing with. God help them with their marriage. Help them with their children. Help them with this need or that need. When's the last time that we failed to get on our knees knowing the Savior, knowing that we have access to Him through prayer, and had compassion on somebody else and said, Lord, I'm coming to you on behalf of this individual. I beg you, I beseech you, God, just put your hand on them. It's not only the preacher can do this. I thank God that I can. But can I tell you, if you're saved here this morning, you can too. And the thing of it is, you can get into certain homes that I could never get into. You can go through certain doors that are not open to me. But if you know Jesus and you know the Bible, you have the very same help for them that I would have. Or any other believer. How can we not tell? Do you believe? Do you have compassion? I think it might come down to this last thing, looking at this soul-winning example here. They bring unto him a willingness to pay a price. You see, Jesus offered salvation freely, but that does not say that there wasn't a price paid. He paid the price. You look back to Calvary's cross, He paid the price. And if we are going to be able to obey the Great Commission, if we are going to be able to tell people and tell the world, listen to me, there is a price that has to be paid. I trust the reason we're not telling is because we're not willing to pay a price. Not willing to give my time because I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I've got a career. I've got this and I've got that and I've got to work harder for it because I've got some goals in mind. And I want to get to a certain financial plateau at a certain time in my life and I want this and I want that. Listen to me. And there's nothing wrong with planning. There's nothing wrong with having goals. There's nothing wrong with wanting to prosper. Listen to me. But not at the expense of telling others about Jesus Christ. You got that cure. And you're told not to tell your husband. You're told not to tell your wife. You're told not to tell your neighbors. Could you live with yourself? Could you really not tell? Will you be able to live with yourself when a loved one dies and goes to a devil's hell and you had opportunity to give them the help that God offers? All because I don't want to pay the price. I don't want to give it the time. I don't want to make the effort. I don't want to have the patience. If the world is going to be reached and the gospel is going to be preached, there's a price that must be paid. I trust that we're willing to pay that price, whatever it might be. Because these are eternal things. These are the things that will eventually matter for the rest of eternity. As we look back to this, and I only got a couple more minutes, I want you to see this. So we find this an example of soul winning. I really believe that's why Jesus did that. His expectations is not that they would not tell. His expectations was to test them to see if they would or not. And as we have it preserved for us today, it's our expectations. How can we not tell? And so much the more, the Bible says, that so much the more, they had to publish it. They could not hold it in. The method of Jesus healing. Did you notice that? A little bit different. Every time Jesus would heal, it would be a little bit different. This is a soul-winning method that I want you to see here. The way he healed, verse 33 and verse 34, and he took him, this is the one that they brought to him, the one that needed this miracle, the one that needed, if you will, salvation, and he took him aside from the multitude and put Jesus' finger and put it into his ears. And he took the very spittle of Jesus and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and then saith unto him. Do you see what's taking place? This is a deaf and dumb man. The way he healed was primarily for the deaf and dumb man to understand it, because this would have been more sign language. No matter what they did everything that they needed to do to bring him to Jesus, but they could not get saved for him. And so this man, this deaf and dumb man, if he was going to truly get the healing and receive all that Christ had for him, he had to believe himself. He couldn't hear. So Jesus took his finger. And the deaf man would have saw that it was the finger of Jesus that brings him hearing. He took his saliva so that this deaf and dumb man might understand it takes the saliva of Christ to heal my tongue. He sighed. He looked up to heaven and he realized that this man was not just any ordinary man. This man had the power of an almighty God. And then he spoke. And the dumb man started hearing. And the impediment, like a string, was released. And he could speak normal. Because it takes a personal belief for a person to be saved. After the healing, and I'll close with this. After the healing, verse 37. And we're beyond measure. Who was beyond measure? Not the deaf and dumb man. It was they. The same ones, the soul winners, that brought this man to Jesus. And we're beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. They whom first believed that Jesus could help after the healing were astonished. He went beyond what they even thought he could do. They thought, well, if he just gets his hearing back, or if he just has his tongue loose. But Jesus met all his need. They were astonished. And they said, he's even gone far beyond what I thought he could do for this man. Those that were telling other people about what Jesus could help them with, their belief would increase. Which tells us the more you tell, the more your faith will increase. The more involved in seeing people help by the truth of Jesus Christ, the more lives you see turned around because of salvation, the more marriages you see that are put back together because of the counsel from the Word of God, the more families that are restored, whatever the need was, when you see the help of God being ministered and the people being helped, it'll encourage you. It will increase your faith to want to see it again. Amen. Amen. I don't want to just stop at just seeing one saved. If it could save that person, what about this person? And what about that person? And what about that person? If it can help this person, I don't want to stop with just helping that person. I want to go see if I can take the Word of God and help this person, and take the Word of God and help that person, and go into all the world. Preach that which changes lives. Let me ask you a question. Can you not tell? If you can, there's a problem. There's something wrong. Because when you truly understand it, and you have faith, and you have compassion, and you're willing to pay a price, you'll tell. Amen. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. So much the more, a great deal, they published it. They published it. They weren't afraid of it. They weren't embarrassed by it. They realized it was what others needed. And they told them. I pray and I trust today we'd be more willing to tell than ever before. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of this passage of Scripture. Thank you, God, that we can see what you have for us and, God, how it can impact our own lives. And by impacting our lives, you can work through us to impact other people's lives. I pray we'd be willing to do just that. Work now in our midst. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.